Are you a good listener? Are you a good listener? I think we'd all like to think of ourselves as good listeners to our loved ones, to our family, to our friends. What about to God? Are you a good listener to God? And there's nothing more important now or in this upcoming year than that. Will the upcoming year, 2019, be a year in which you are a good listener to God? My purpose this morning is to challenge each one of you to read your Bible through in the upcoming year, 2019. And to help you do that, you will be receiving by mail soon a daily Bible reading calendar that looks just like this. I think most of you are familiar with that. And if you can't wait till it comes to the mail, you can pick it up. There's a number of them on the table. This takes you through the Old Testament and the New Testament at the same time. So there's an Old Testament and New Testament reading every day. And so through the year, you go work from Genesis to Malachi and from Matthew to Revelation. And so there's a scheduled reading for every day to keep you on the same page with your brothers and sisters that are here at Trinity. You can know when you're reading that many of us are reading it along with you. Andrew and I have been doing a visiting project. We're trying to visit every member of the church, and we visited some of you, and so that project is underway, and we've been asking each one of you about your Bible reading. And there's two most important things that we're hoping to hear when we ask you that, and if we don't hear, we want to encourage you to do this. We want to hear that you're reading your Bible every day, that you're reading your Bible every day. You need to be reading your Bible every day. And one man that we recently talked to said, when we asked him this, he said, before his feet hit the floor, he's reading God's word, hopefully, most days. That's his practice, and that's what we want to hear, that you're reading the Bible every day. And then second, most important, that you're reading it in every part. According to some kind of plan or system or schedule, in other words, that you're not just reading your favorite parts and neglecting the other parts of the Bible. Paul spoke to the Ephesians in Acts and told them, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. I didn't just give you my favorite parts, Paul says. I gave you the whole counsel of God in every part. And so this is really not so strange. You think about toward another person. If you want to know someone, you have to listen to what they say to you. And you have to listen to all of what they say to you, not just the parts that you like or don't like. You can't have selective hearing if you want to know someone. Parents know about that. You can ask your child, do you want to have ice cream? And, oh, sure, yes, of course. And clean your room? And what? I can't hear that part. That's selective hearing. That's hearing what you want to hear and then blocking out the rest. But if you don't listen to someone, and if you don't listen to all that they say to you, then you don't know the person. You just know a projection of what you imagine that person to be instead of knowing them. And it's the same with God. And so that's why you're to read regularly, to listen to the Lord, and also to read all the parts of Scripture, the whole counsel of God, and not be a selective hearer, but be a hearer of all the counsel of God. So the two most important things that Andrew and I listen for or encourage people to do when we're visiting them is to read the Bible every day and to read the Bible in every part according to some sort of plan. If not this plan that we're doing together as a church, then some other plan. Also important, but I'd have to say of secondary importance, is how quickly you get through the Bible. So if you're reading every day, reading every part, also of importance, but of secondary importance, is how quickly you read through the Bible. And I don't think it's too much to expect that you read your whole Bible through in a year. Not too much to expect. It's 15 minutes a day or less to get through your whole Bible in a year. And so you can think about how much time you watch TV or pay attention to the news or look at your iPhone. Not too much, 15 minutes a day to get through the whole Bible in a year. But if you're moving at a slower pace, but you're doing those other things, you're reading it every day, you're reading it in every part, I wouldn't be too alarmed by that if you don't get through the Bible in a year. As long as you're doing those things. Sometimes when we talk to people, when Andrew and I talk to people, they ask us what we do for our Bible reading, And I read through according to the daily Bible reading calendar. And frankly, if I preach to you every year that you should be doing that, I feel like I don't have much of a choice for choosing another plan. And so that can be a good thing sometimes to have choice taken away from you. And it's been a great blessing in the past year to read the Bible through for this year. So New Year's Day, I'll read Genesis 1 and 2. Which is the first reading, and Matthew chapter 1 in the New Testament. Andrew doesn't use the daily Bible reading calendar. He uses a different plan, and so he reads his Bible from front to back, Genesis to Revelation, and then starts over whenever he's done. And he breaks things into natural reading units. So I think whenever he gets to Genesis, he'll read Genesis 1 to 3, and then the next day Genesis 4 to 11, and then the next day, Genesis 12 to 25 or something like that, kind of natural reading breaks. And so he moves through at a faster pace, and he gets through the whole Bible about every 8 or 9 months. And he told me this morning that he's in Judges, reading through the Bible. Some of you read faster than once a year, and that's fine too. And so it's important how quickly you're reading the Bible, but perhaps of secondary importance to reading it every day and reading it in every part. Well, why did I title my message, "Are You a Good Listener?" Are you a good listener? When really I sort of mean, are you a good reader? Because in what I'm speaking of, and for me, as I go through, I'll be reading inaudibly, not listening and hearing, but reading it inaudibly. So why did I put it, "Are you a good listener?" and not, "Are you a good reader?" Well, the Bible likes to speak to us in very concrete terms. The Bible has some things to say about reading God's word, and it mentions scrolls sometimes and what's been written down. So from time to time, you'll find that in Scripture. But there's way more in Scripture about hearing God's word. And so the Bible likes to speak to us in concrete terms. It also, the Bible has plenty to say about ears, body parts. It makes it very visual for us. The Bible speaks to us like we're little kids sometimes, and so that's what I've done. The Bible teaches about all kinds of ears, itching ears. You don't want to have that, itching for something other than God's word. Uncircumcised ears, you don't want to have that either. Deaf ears, dull ears, heavy ears, you don't want that. It also talks about open ears, pierced ears. It literally says, and that's an ear that's attentive and listening to God's word. And so because the Bible says so much about ears and about hearing God's word, I've done the same and asked, are you a good listener to God's word? Even though really what I mean is reading God's word. By the way, it seems that audiobooks have gotten especially popular maybe in the past decade or so. And if you use an audio Bible for your Bible reading, you ought not to feel like that you're cheating in doing that. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 said, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things that are written in it, for the time is near." Blessed is he who reads, that's singular. And those who hear, that's plural. And so what John has in mind as he writes the book of Revelation is one person reading out loud to a group of people. And blessed are the one who reads and those who hear him reading and heed and keep. That's really the key. The things that are written in it, for the time is near. And so the blessing for reading and for hearing is the same. And so whichever way you receive God's word, there's a blessing in it. And it's the same blessing, whether you read it or whether you hear it. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." And so the blessing is not only for those who read and hear, but those who heed the word of God, prove themselves to be doers of God's word and not hearers only. So I want to ask you the question this morning, are you a good listener to God's word? Will you be a good listener in 2019? And as you ponder that question and seek to answer it for yourself this morning, I want to give you three considerations about God's word. And the first is this, whenever God opens an ear, he always closes a mouth. Whenever God opens an ear, He always closes a mouth. And who does that make you think of in Scripture? Well, it might make you think of a number of different people in Scripture, but it makes me think of Job, who put his hand over his mouth. Job chapter 40 and verse 4. And by the way, I don't have a main text, so I'm going to kind of be jumping around to Scriptures. You can turn here, if you can turn fast enough to get to a number of these. But in Job chapter 40 and verse 4, Job says to the Lord, "Behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to you? I lay my hand on my mouth. Once I've spoken, and I will not answer. Even twice, and I will add nothing more." He says, "Therefore, and this is in chapter 42 and verse 3, "Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know." And so there's a long, Job is a long book. It's a complicated book. And at the end, Job learns to put his hand over his mouth and to open his ears and to listen to God and to stop saying his own words. God not only has to open ears, but he has to stop your mouth as well. And Job learned that as well as many other people in the Bible. Habakkuk chapter 2. And verse 18, and this is one of the scriptures of the Old Testament that speaks about idols. Idols don't speak like God does. They have mouths, but they don't speak. And so Habakkuk is picking up on this in his prophecy. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 18. "What profit is the idol when its maker has carved it, or an image, a teacher of falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork, when he fashions speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, 'Awake,' to a mute stone, 'Arise,' and that is your teacher. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there's no breath at all inside it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." So the Lord is speaking. He's not like an idol who's mute, who has no breath. The Lord is in his holy temple, and he speaks. He reveals himself. That's what he's doing in the temple. Let all the earth be silent. Let all the earth put their hand over their mouth like Job. When God opens an ear, he also stops a mouth. James chapter 1, verse 19. "This you know, my beloved brethren, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." It's the hearing of God's word that achieves the righteousness of God. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13 says, "If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and from speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." And so he's talking about the Sabbath for Israel. They're to keep from their own pleasures and also keep from speaking their own word about God. It's a day to listen about God and to listen about the rest. And if they'll take delight, not in speaking their own word about God, but in hearing about God, God says, I will cause you to ride on the heights of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. And so it's the same for us. Beware of speaking your own word about God and about yourself, but instead listen, even your best thought, even your best aspirations about God and about yourself, but instead we're to listen to the word of God. When the Lord opens an ear, he also has to close a mouth. You could take all the collective wisdom of mankind and put it in a book about God, all the collected wisdom of all that mankind has to say. And what kind of God would that look like if you took that? It would be nothing like the God who's revealed in the Bible. So when you're expecting God to be a certain way, that's the word you're saying, the Lord has to close the mouth in order to open the ears and to tell you what he's like, because it's far different from the word that man speaks. So what kind of God would that be? In a book collected of all the earthly wisdom of man collected into a book about God. And I was thinking about that, especially this time of year. I think he would look something like Santa. Something like Santa, who makes a list, checks it twice, finds out who's naughty or nice, distributes rewards, and punishment. So he has some idea of justice, some idea of promoting good behavior, but a very human one, a very human idea of justice. Really, it's pretty lenient about it, pretty understanding. Is really just a nice old man. And so if he disapproves of something, it's sort of tisk tisk and tut tut. And so that's, I think, what man would imagine God to be like. Santa, to continue this, has impressive special powers, superhuman powers, so he's fairly powerful in some ways, but in other ways he's a doddering old man who can be easily tricked or bribed. He can be bought off with milk and cookies. He lives far away in a remote and distant location like the North Pole, somewhere where we don't go. He doesn't come around very often, and you don't have to interact with him very much. And when you do, you just tell him what it is that you want. I think that would be pretty close to what man would imagine and expect God to be like according to his own wisdom. It's nothing like the God of the Bible. It's nothing like the God of the Bible. And that's why God, in order to open your ears to tell you what he's like, he also has to close your mouth, because he's nothing like you'd expect him to be. Man's wisdom, man's word about God would never arrive at a God whose ways are all ways of resurrection, of making the dead to be alive. That's a surprise in the Bible about God that man could never imagine. Take how gracious you think God ought to be. How gracious you think God ought to be. And then put your hand over your mouth and listen, because he's far more gracious than that. He's so gracious that he sent his own son to the cross in order to be your savior. And once you understand that, take how much wrath you think God should have against sin. And then put your hand over your mouth and listen, because God has far more wrath against sin than you could ever imagine. And so God has to close a mouth in order to open an ear. He speaks about this to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. Do not say in your heart, when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, the Canaanites, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me to possess this land. That's their words. But it's because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them before you. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess their land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And so the Lord's taking a word out of their mouth. Don't say this when you come into the land. Don't say it's because of my righteousness. And so the Lord is putting his hand over their mouth to remind them of his word, his oath, to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob. That's what they need to listen to. And so he has to put his hand over the mouth in order to open the ears. God has to close your mouth from speaking about your own righteousness. That's what Israel was wanting to speak about. To open your ear to hear what he's saying about his righteousness. And when he does so, it silences a lot of questions. It silences a lot of questions, because according to the word that God speaks and not we speak about God, God actually gets to be God according to the word that he speaks, not the one that we speak, where God gets to be something far lesser than God. According to the word that God speaks, God actually gets to be God. And that means he doesn't have to tell you everything that he's doing. He doesn't have to render an account to you. He doesn't have to give you a satisfying explanation of all your ways, of all his ways. He can say, I am God. I'm your God. I'm for you, and I'm not against you, and trust me. That's his word. And he doesn't explain all of our questions. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9 and 10, the Lord says, woe to the one who quarrels with his maker, and the earthenware vessel among the vessels of the earth. Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing you are making say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman, to what are you giving birth? And so he pictures these situations where a question calling to account is absurd. It's absurd for a clay vessel to say to the potter, what are you making? Or do you really have hands? It's absurd for a child being born to say to his father, what are you begetting? Or to say to his mother, to what are you giving birth? And in the same way, the Lord puts his hand over the mouth of those who speak to him that he's not really God, because according to his word, he actually is God and we are not. And when you hear the word that the Lord is saying, you understand that it's so much more wonderful than the word that you are saying about him, that you delight to have it so. You delight to have your mouth shut and your ear open to him. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? That's Israel's word. Have you ever had that be your word? My way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. The Lord says, why do you say that? He says, don't say that. Put your hand over your mouth when you're going to say that. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Have you not listened? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator, the end of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. That's the word the Lord is speaking. And in order to speak that word into your ear and open your ear to that word about the God who gives strength to the weary, who makes the weary to run and not get tired, to mount up with wings like eagles, he has to stop your mouth of saying, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes from my God. The place where God speaks the loudest about himself, about his grace to sinners, about his wrath against sin, and the place where he speaks the loudest about you is the cross of Christ. He speaks about you, your humiliation, and also your exaltation, that you're 100% sinner, total sinner, not just a sinner around the edges, but a total sinner before him, and at the same time, totally righteous, totally a child of God, because his ways, all of his ways, are ways of resurrection. The way he speaks the most clearly about himself and about you is at the cross. And the clearest exposition, I think, in all of Scripture about the cross is not in the New Testament, it's in the Old Testament. It's in Isaiah 53. You can turn there quickly. And if you do, you might notice Isaiah 52, the last three verses, really should be included in Isaiah 53. They basically put the chapter division in the wrong place here. And that's the part that I want to read from, Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14. And so this is leading up to the cross. In fact, it's already describing the cross. Isaiah 52, verse 14. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance, Christ, was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. That's speaking of Christ on the cross, hanging on the cross. Verse 15. Thus he will startle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what they had not been told, they will see. And what they had not heard, they will understand. Just as nothing reveals God so clearly as the cross, speaks God's word about himself and about you so clearly as the cross, so also nothing closes the mouth so well as the cross. From speaking your own word about God, it brings you up short. It says there, God is doing something that I never could have imagined. God is totally different from what I thought he could be. And so it speaks of kings of the nation seeing this and being brought up short, putting their hand over their mouth, ceasing from speaking. When the Lord opens an ear, he closes a mouth. The wisdom of the cross puts to shame the wisdom of the world and makes it utterly foolish. So as you ponder the question, am I a good listener? Will I be a good listener in the year 2019? Think of this first consideration. Whenever God opens an ear, he always closes a mouth. And it doesn't stop when you become a Christian. If God opens your ear to his word in the year 2019, it will also be because he's closing your mouth in the year 2019 from speaking your own word about God, from speaking out of your own imagination about God. So the first consideration is that whenever God opens an ear, he also closes a mouth. The second consideration I'd like you to consider as you're considering this question, am I a good listener, is this. Christ is a good listener. In fact, Christ is a great listener. Christ is the best listener. And you can see this both in the Old Testament and in the New. So Psalm 40, verse 6 to 8, and I'll ask you to turn there quickly. Psalm 40, verse 6 to 8. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is in my heart. David is speaking of himself. Here, this is a psalm of David. Speaking of himself as a type of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 to 7 points out the correspondence so that Christ is revealed as the one who says this in the most ultimate sense. If David experienced, and he did, a glimpse of what this means, to have his ears opened, to delight, to do the will of God. If David experienced that in a glimpse, in a glimmer, in a foretaste, in a flash, in a hint, Christ experienced this all the time. Exactly what this says. This is Christ's character, and Christ is a listener. Christ is a listener. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. The language that's used here is the same that's used in something you might remember. Kind of sticks in the memory about a slave in Old Testament Israel, and the slaves were sort of indentured servants. They'd serve for a set period of time, and then that would come to an end, and then they'd be set free in the year of Jubilee. But the law imagines a servant who's happy with his position and would like to be a servant permanently. He loves his master, and he's happy with that life. And so there's a ceremony that takes place in order to make that servant a permanent servant of his master, so he doesn't have to be set free at the end of 7 years. And it says, take him to the doorpost and take an awl and pierce his ear. Put the awl into the doorpost. And it pictures his permanent obedience. His ear is permanently open in a symbol to his master. He's going to be obedient permanently to his master. And this is what is used of Christ. My ears you have pierced. You've opened so that I'm obedient permanently to you. And it speaks of that. I delight to do your will. Your law is in my heart. And so Christ is a listener. It's interesting when the author of Hebrews quotes from this psalm, he changes it slightly. He paraphrases it slightly. The very part that says, my ears you have opened. In Hebrews, it says, therefore, when he, Christ, comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you've prepared for me. So in Psalms, it says, my ears you've opened. In Hebrews, where the author paraphrases it, it says, a body has been prepared for me. And it's a part for the whole. If his ears are opened, then his whole body is prepared for obedience to the Lord. That's what was being pictured for the servant. His ears pierced to the master's voice, his whole body is going to be obedient as a servant for life. And that's what's being prophesied here about the Lord, Jesus Christ. His ears are opened. His whole body is prepared for obedience and for delighting in obedience. That's how important the ear is. That's how important Christ's ear is. And Christ is a listener. And so that's how he's described. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4 also prophesies that Christ will be a listener. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples. I'll stop there. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples. He's given me the tongue of discipled ones. He's given me the tongue of well-instructed ones. Well instructed to do what? Well, it says in the next verse, he's given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. So he's well instructed, Christ is, to sustain the weary ones with a word, because God has given him a tongue that's instructed in order to sustain the weary one with a word. How did he instruct him to sustain the weary one with a word? Well, he goes on to say in the middle of verse 4, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. That's how Christ was instructed to sustain the weary one with a word, because he's a listener. That's how he was given the tongue of a well-instructed one. Morning by morning, the Lord awakened him, awakened his ear to learn as a disciple. The Lord God, verse 5, has opened my ear. There it is again, the opened ear. And I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. In fact, he went all the way to the cross. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. Why not? Because he's a listener. Because the Lord opened his ear and instructed him in that way. So the one who said to his disciples, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men, was himself a listener. And that's how he became a fisher of men, by listening to the voice of the Lord. And I wonder if the Lord illustrated this truth about listening, about being a disciple to the Lord and listening in order to have a tongue that is able to speak a word in season to the weary. I wonder if he illustrated this truth in one of the Lord's miracles, where they brought to him, this is Mark chapter 7, verse 32, they brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored him to lay his hand on him. And the Lord, looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, said, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. This man came, he was deaf, he spoke with difficulty. The Lord opened his ears. He sighed and opened his ears, and when he opened his ears, his tongue was loosed. And I wonder if the Lord is illustrating about Christ himself, the listener, and the one who knows how to speak. When his ear is open, his tongue is loosed to speak and sustain the weary one with a word. So Christ was a listener. Christ was a listener. The Gospel of John speaks about this. It says much about the Lord's relationship with his Father, and it characterizes him as a listener. Let me read you just some of the verses that speak of Christ as a listener in John. John chapter 5 and verse 30, where the Lord says, I can do nothing of my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. The Lord's a listener. As I hear, I judge. I don't do anything that I don't hear. John chapter 8 and verse 40, but as it is, and this the Lord said to the Jews who were opposing him, as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. He's a listener. This Abraham did not do. And then finally, John chapter 12 and verse 49, where the Lord says, for I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I don't say whatever I want, the Lord says. The Father himself gives me a commandment, and I listen to it as to what to say and to what to speak. So let me ask you this question to consider. What was Christ listening to? He's a listener. That's what I've been saying in this part of the message. What was he listening to from his Father? Was he listening to special promptings from secret communion with his Father? Or was he listening to God's holy written word? Well, there's an emphasis in some theological thought, and as far as I can tell, it seems to be somewhat of an emphasis in Puritan thought, that Christ, as the sympathetic high priest, had to be made like his brethren in all things. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. He's the pioneer. He's the forerunner of the life of faith before us, and he's also the second Adam. And so there's, in some theology, a very strong emphasis on the distinctness of the human nature of Christ, that it was, certainly was not mingled or confused with his divine nature. And so sometimes it's pointed out that it's important that Christ lived the life of faith on earth as a man. In other words, not with special promptings from his father that we don't have any access to when we live on earth as a real human being. That would sort of almost be like cheating, almost like Christ being unlike us, being like a high priest who's not like us. But instead that Christ listened to the written word of God with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, which came upon him at baptism to illumine God's word. And we're the same. We have God's written word and we have the Holy Spirit at baptism. So what's the answer to this question? What do I think of this question? What was Christ listening to? Was he listening to special promptings, secret promptings from his father, or was he listening to God's word illumined by the Holy Spirit? And I can honestly say, I don't know the answer to that question. I can't help but think there were times when the father secretly revealed something to Christ. For example, the woman at the well, and the Lord knew she had had five husbands, and the man she was living with now was not her husband. He knew it wasn't four. He knew it wasn't six before it was five. And there are many other things like that that I can't help but think the father just revealed to Christ. But I'll say this too. Christ certainly did not neglect Scripture. He did not neglect God's written word. He studied it. He pondered it. He memorized it. He quoted it to his disciples, to his enemies, to Satan. He knew it for his own benefit. He learned. He grew in wisdom and in stature and the grace and the knowledge of God. And so he listened. He was a listener to Scripture. Let me put it like this, to play it safe for this question. Christ listened to all of God's words that were spoken to him, and it included all the words of Scripture. And God's word for you is in this book. It's not elsewhere. It's just in this book. You have to put your hand over your mouth for the words that come elsewhere that are not in this book. In fact, you have to put your hand over your mouth for those in order to be a listener to God's words that are for you, because Christ was a listener and a good listener. And that leads finally to my last consideration, just straight away right into it. And that is that Christ wants you to be a good listener. Christ wants you to be a good listener. And so did his father, who spoke from heaven at Christ's transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. That's what the Lord said about him from heaven. The Lord said about his people, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep are listeners. He wants you to be a listener to him. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. John chapter 6, verse 45, the Lord says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. John chapter 8, verse 47, and the Lord spoke this to his enemies who were rejecting him. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. And then finally, for the Gospel of John, the Lord said to Pilate, this is when he was making the good confession before Pilate. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who is of the truth is a listener to my voice. The Lord Jesus wants you to be a listener. Luke, and most of the rest of these are from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. This is the parable of the sower. The last part, the good soil. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. We already read that verse last week to illustrate Mary, who treasured up the things, the good tidings that the shepherds told her and cast them together in her heart. She's a good example of the one who hears the word in a good and honest heart and holds it fast and bears fruit with perseverance. Luke chapter 8, verse 18, just a few verses later, the Lord says this, so take care how you listen. Take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and to whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. take care how you listen, though it seems like a very small thing, listening to God's word. It has disproportional results, one way or the other, either for good or for ill. Take care how you listen, for whoever has more is going to be given to him of this listening, and whoever does not have any of this listening, even what he thinks he has, is going to be taken away from him. That's how important this listening is. Take care how you listen. The Lord wants you to be a listener. Luke chapter 8, verse 21, again, just a few verses later. But he answered and said, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and who do it." Perhaps this is a reason why Martin Luther liked to call the church an ear house. It's the family of God are those who listen to the word of God. Luke chapter 11, verse 27. While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Who is she speaking of when she says, "Blessed are is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed"? She's speaking of Mary, who sometimes reverenced and worshiped and asked to intercede for us because it's thought that she's so close to God. And the Lord Jesus hears his mother being praised, actually not even in that way, even in a lesser way than that. He says, on the contrary, the ones who are blessed, the ones who are close to God, are those who hear the word of God and who observe it. Luke chapter 16 and verse 31, and this is the end of the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man is portrayed at the end of that parable suffering in the torments of hell. He can't believe how he got there. And so he says, could Lazarus come back from the dead and speak to my brothers? Maybe they won't come to this place. Surely they'll believe if someone comes from the dead. And then it's told to him as he's suffering the torments of hell. If they did not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. The listening, it's all important. The Lord wants you to be a hearer. This is why the Lord said many times in his teaching, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then even the resurrected and ascended Christ in Revelation, John's vision of him in Revelation, and then dictating letters to the churches. And at the end of each letter, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And it's from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be a listener. Are you a good listener? Are you a good listener? We think about your resolutions for 2019, your aspirations, your ambitions, your goals, your projects, your hopes, your dreams for this upcoming year, 2019. Nothing is more important next year than opening your ear to the Lord and opening your ear to this book. So consider this, listener. If God opens your ear in 2019, it will also be because he's closed your mouth from speaking its own word. Beware of speaking your own word. Beware of speaking the wisdom of the world. Beware of speaking the wisdom of your own soul. You must put your hand over your mouth. God must put his hand over your mouth in order to open your ear and to make you to be a listener. Consider this, listener. Christ himself was a good listener. Your sympathetic high priest who can sympathize with you because he experienced everything and more that you go through on earth was a listener. That's why he's able to sustain the weary one with a word. That's why he was obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, even unto the death of the cross, because his ear was open to the words of his Father. And then consider this, listener. Christ wants you to be a good listener, to listen for his voice. The Lord Jesus said, "My sheep," or "the sheep, follow the good shepherd because they know his voice." They listen for it. "A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Are you a good listener? May the Lord open your ear to his word in 2019, and may he give you rich and unexpected blessings in this new year, blessings of knowing him in the upcoming year. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are not like the idols who are mute, who have no breath, who have a mouth but do not speak. But we thank you that you speak, you've spoken in your word, you've spoken in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that we might be those who are silent before you, listening to your word and those who know you. We pray that we might follow in the way of our Master in this, who was a listener to your word, who you opened his ear, you awakened his ear morning by morning as he lived and walked the life of trusting you on earth as a man. And then we pray that we would heed to our Master's clear words, to take heed how we listen before you, understanding that everything depends upon how we listen to your word. We ask for your blessing in this upcoming year. We ask you to show us yourself and your ways. We thank you that you're faithful. Your faithfulness is new every morning. And we give you thanks for your goodness to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.